Oh, I forgot that. Let us stand and pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. You know, a couple more weeks, I'll get this down, and I'll remember when I'm supposed to be standing and when I'm supposed to be sitting. But thank you for your patience with me. At this time, I invite you to take your Bibles on this Mother's Day. I've chosen a passage out of the Gospel of Matthew. It's in Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. An interesting passage. Jesus has been with his disciples. He has left the region of Galilee because of opposition. Do you ever get tired of times when things just get tough? We don't know whether Jesus was on R&R, but he left the region of Galilee and he went 30 miles north to Tyre and Sidon. And while he is up there doing R&R with his disciples, a time that Jesus ministered the majority of his time in the region of Galilee and down into Jerusalem. But this is one of the times that he leaves the region of Galilee and he actually goes to a Gentile area. And we see him leaving that area and then a special meeting with a woman. And we're going to see how the Lord develops her faith. And you know, there are times that we need to pause and reflect upon God's goodness. Today is when we celebrate our mothers. We celebrate those mothers that are still living, and we celebrate the memory of our mothers who have passed away. And if you are in food service at all, you know that this is the busiest day for restaurants. We like to take our wives out. They're, you know, they say that the best thing that you can make for a wife is reservations. It's a great thing for them to have, knowing that the pressure is off. But it's an opportunity for us to demonstrate our thankfulness. You know, we are a people who are so blessed that sometimes we take it for granted. And we forget to pause and say, thank you for your sacrifices. Thank you for your love. And we think of, we usually think of our mothers most when we're going through a difficult time. And I remember there was a person in the hospital this past week, and he was in the hospital, and he said, you know, the thing I miss most is my mother passed away this year, and she'd be here with me if she were still alive. And, you know, we don't realize that until they're gone, and then we say, you know, that is a big hole. And so as we have opportunity, we need to say thank you for your sacrifices and thank you for the way you've demonstrated your love. And so mothers truly have an impact upon kids. But, you know, there are times when kids can have an impact upon their mothers. I remember hearing a testimony of a mother who had recently trusted Christ. Her name is Barbara Johnson. She's written some books, and you've probably heard Barbara Johnson talk, especially you ladies have. And she was talking about she was a new believer, and she was excited about her faith. And one time, her son just really pushed all of her buttons. And she's running around the house, anxiously trying to catch this kid to discipline him. And when she finally caught him, he says, Mom, let's pray. Because he knew that when Mom was in prayer, she was a different person. And so there are times that we get overwhelmed, and we need to remember that when we're overwhelmed, we don't need to look for self-help books, and we don't need to look for all the other things that we might get. You know, just let me go into a quiet room and shut the door. But the thing that we really need is we really need Jesus. And so I'm going to read Matthew chapter 15, where Matthew records this account. It's out of the New International Translation, and so I'm going to ask you to stand as I read this passage to show honor for God's Word. It says, leaving that place, he was in the area of Galilee. He was experiencing opposition from the religious people. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, It's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even their dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered, Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you are going to encourage us as we look at the development of this woman's faith. And help us not only learn from it, but help us to apply it to our own lives. When we face difficult times, that we would know that we can come and call upon you and receive your help for ourselves. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So Jesus is in the region of Tyre and Sidon. It's over on the coast. It's up in the area of Syria. He and his disciples have gotten away. Pressure must have been very great for Jesus. Wherever he went, large crowds gathered. They were bringing people who were sick to him. It seemed like there was never a chance to get away. And even when he does leave the region, there are people that have heard about Jesus. And it's interesting that the text tells us that, we don't know how, but he says, a Canaanite woman from that region, from that vicinity, came to him crying out. And she had some amazing insight. When she came to Jesus, she called him Lord, meaning the master, the one who is in charge, the Son of David, which was a messianic term, and she also recognized that she needed mercy. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And you know, it's amazing that when we are troubled and we are overwhelmed, if we could just come to a place where we acknowledge the uniqueness of Jesus, if we understand that even though we may not be qualified to come into his presence, we can still request his mercy. Thinking of those two men who were in the temple, the religious person and the sinner. When the religious person comes into God's presence and he expresses all the things that he's done that make him worthy to be there, and the person that is justified is the one that says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And here's this troubled mother. And the reason that she's troubled? Her daughter has been suffering from demon possession. And she finds out about Jesus, and she goes, and she meets him. And sometimes we do everything that we can. And a lot of times I'm guilty of it, we say, well, when all else fails, what do? We pray, don't we? When all else fails, why do we have to try everything else? Why do we get to a place where we just can't say, you know, this is a situation that is bigger than me. I need to come to Jesus. I remember Bill Bright, who is president of and founder of Campus Crusade, challenged us one time in a seminar. And he says, you know, we need to pray great prayers to a great God and expect great results. And sometimes we think, well, this is a little thing and I don't need to bother God with it until it gets too big, and then only God can deal with it. But the thing to remember is, Everything that you and I struggle with are little things to God. I mean, the one who created the universe, the one who spoke the world into existence, the one who holds everything together by the power of his might, is the one who we are calling to. And so when we call, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me," we are addressing the very right person. And sometimes we need to just pause when life is out of control, just like this woman, and we say, "I need to go to the only person that can help." And she found Jesus. And when you and I get to the end of ourselves and we come into the presence of Jesus, we are then in the best place we could ever be. How often do we pray for people that are going through a difficult time and we say, "Lord, just get them out of this mess," instead of saying, "Lord, what is the lesson you have for this person to find? Maybe they need to find a greater dependence upon you. Maybe during this period of time, they need to just eliminate all the other things that they've been doing and just focus on you. Maybe they need to come to a place where they are finally in your presence." And I don't know whether you've realized this or not, but a lot of times, the sovereign God in his wisdom puts you and me into those difficult positions where nothing else is going to help us. And I know I've used this statement a number of times, and you have to listen very carefully because it's kind of tricky. But sometimes we as Christians are so eager to help a person that we take them right out of where God wants them to be. And when that happens, if we fix up a fix-up that God fixes up, then God has to fix up another fix-up to fix them up. Did you catch that? Sometimes we get people out of that difficult position, and that's exactly where God wanted them to get their attention. And so then he has to do something else more drastic to be able to get them, because we can't do anything more for that person. And here's a woman. Her daughter is demon-possessed. She is suffering terribly. And Jesus comes into the region. You remember what happened when the early church has just begun and Philip is ministering in the area of Samaria, and the Spirit of God takes him out into a desert place, and he's walking along the road and he hears this Ethiopian eunuch reading the scriptures, and he joins himself with that person, and he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "Well, no. How can I understand unless somebody has?" And Philip began at that very passage, and he showed him Jesus. And sometimes we have to just pause and come and be with people for a little while till we find out what is it that God wants them to know about himself. And so we see this troubled mother who finally finds Jesus, and she comes to Jesus and she cries out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." And we get to verse 25 and we say, "This is not right." Jesus doesn't answer her. She came to Jesus and he doesn't answer her. And she must continue to call out. And finally the disciples say, "Could you just take care of this lady and send her away? She's bugging us. We're here for R&R. We're here to relax and enjoy time. And this woman won't let us alone. Jesus, just take care of it." And we look at that and we see this troubled mother and we begin to wonder, what's Jesus doing? Why isn't he responding? And Jesus is not ignoring the woman. He's building her faith. You know, sometimes when we don't get an answer to our prayers, and most of the time when we don't get an answer to prayer, and I kind of talked about that last week, it's because we don't get the yes. And Aaron knows that. God always answers prayer. But sometimes he says no. And we don't like that. And sometimes he says, "Wait a while." And sometimes he says, "I've got something better for you." But if we don't get yes, we say, "I prayed and God didn't hear my prayer. He didn't answer." But this lady doesn't stop. When Jesus seems to ignore her, she doesn't quit crying out to him. And you know, there's a thing called persistent prayer. And there's an acrostic that I just want to share with you. It's P-U-S-H. We need to do push prayers. You know what a push prayer is? Pray until something happens. And sometimes, as we're praying, God begins to show us that the thing we're praying for is not really what we want. Have you ever found that sometimes the thing that you really thought you needed isn't what you wanted? In the Old Testament, God answered their prayers, but he sent leanness to their soul. And sometimes we may get exactly what we want, but it's not what we need. And so this woman just kept praying. And she kept trusting. And she kept trying to get to the place where those disciples said, Jesus, do something. Don't just ignore this lady. And he was not ignoring her. And when you and I are praying and we're not getting an answer to our prayer, maybe we need to say, Lord, could you give me discernment as to why this isn't being answered the way I think it should be answered? And you need to say, what if I get this prayer? You know, I admit, as a pastor, I have prayed with people. And I prayed that they would find a job, and they find a job. And you know what that job does? It takes them away from the Lord. They get a job, and all of a sudden, they're too busy to come to church. They're too busy to come to Bible study. They're too busy to be with God's people, because now they don't need God anymore. They've got a job. And MasterCard is going to fill their bill, and they don't need God anymore. And sometimes when we pray for people, we pray and we think that's exactly what they need. And before we pray for a person, maybe we need to say, Lord, give me discernment so that I might know what this person really needs. There are times that we pray for healing, and when we get the healing, Hezekiah is a case in point. King Hezekiah was going to die, and he prayed, and the Lord healed him. And after that, he had another son named Manasseh. One of the most wicked kings that Judah had ever had. And sometimes, if God would have just taken him, he would have had a great reputation, everything would have gone good, and they would have lived happily ever after. But sometimes we ask, Lord, would you just spare this person? Would you just, you know, and I have to ask myself as a chaplain, sometimes I'm with a person, I'm saying, you know, their whole body is failing, they've lived a nice long life, they've got a good reputation. Why not just go to heaven? Why would I want to stick around here and be on tubes instead of just, hey, Lord, if we wouldn't have all the technology that we have today and you were just able to be God, would I be in your presence? Instead, I'm in an ICU with tubes in me. I can't communicate. I'm on a breathing machine. And my family is devastated because I can't communicate with them. And sometimes I wonder if in our modern technology, we don't do Christians a disservice. Because, you know, what did Paul say? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, that's not a bad place to be. And sometimes when we're praying, maybe we need to say, God, what is the best way for me to pray for this person? Remember what Paul prayed? He prayed in 2 Corinthians, he prayed three times that this thorn would be removed from his flesh. And what did Jesus finally answer? My grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul goes on to give his testimony and says, therefore I would rather glory in my weakness, because when I am weak, then I am strong, because God's power is manifested in my weakness. And that's what Jesus is doing with this woman. He wants to strengthen her faith. He's not ignoring her. He's not saying, I don't care about your daughter. And sometimes when we don't get an answer to our prayers that's a yes answer, we think God doesn't care. No, he cares. And the reality, he cares more about the development of your faith than he does about answering your prayers the way you want it. And so he's going to develop her faith. And so he says, the disciples say, send her away. And so he answers to her, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And the woman and came and knelt before him, Lord, help me. You know, sometimes there are three things that we need to do. We need to acknowledge God, we need to express our need, and we need to say what we want. Remember what happened when Peter was, and this happened just before this account. Jesus comes walking on the water, and Peter says, Lord, if that's you, call me, come out. And so he goes out, and he's doing great. He's walking on the water, and then all of a sudden he sees these big waves, and he gets ready to drown. And how flowery was his prayer? Not very far. Lord, save me. Yeah. He addressed the person that could help. He said what he needed, and who was it that needed the help? Lord, save me. Nothing could have been eliminated. And this lady says, Lord, help me. I've acknowledged who you are. You are the Lord. You are the Son of David. You are the one who is merciful. I've heard about you. And now I'm coming to the place, and the only thing I can say is, Lord, help. And Jesus says, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. You see, the Jewish people looked at the Gentiles as dogs. And the word that was used there is a dog is a pack of wild animals that are out to devastate things. That's not the word he used here. He says, it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to their pet dogs. So he's not identifying with her as the Jewish people would, but he's saying, my main responsibility is to the Jews. And so she comes and she says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the table. Lord, you're so powerful. I don't need a big miracle. I'm satisfied with the crumbs. The crumbs are all that I need. And Jesus said, woman, you have great faith. And your request is granted. She went from a troubled mother to a trusting mother, and now she's a triumphant mother. Her prayer had been answered. And Jesus makes a comment. I have not... He commented two people who are Gentiles. And he told both of them they had great faith. They weren't from the house of Israel. They didn't have the whole Old Testament scripture. They had only heard about Jesus, and they recognized he was who he claimed to be. And they came and exercised their faith, and Jesus responded. We have the privilege of having been raised in church, having gone to Sunday school, having learned the stories of faith, having all of the blessings of hearing people's testimonies, and we come and we still need what this woman exercised. We still need to believe that Jesus is sufficient. We still need to believe that when we come to him in humility and prayer, he will answer our prayers. And sometimes we have to be persistent. We have to keep on praying until the answer happens. But when we exercise our faith, God rewards it. Remember what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 11? He says, we have to first of all believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so on this Mother's Day, could we come to a place where we can identify our need and see the sufficiency that Jesus offers each one of us? We are Gentiles. We can identify with this woman. We have needs, and he is able to meet our need. So let us come with confidence. Let us come boldly into his throne room of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help us in our time of need. And he is always available. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us an opportunity to once again be reminded of your sufficiency. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We ask that you would continue to help us to be able to know when we pray that we are praying to the God who hears and answers the prayers of his people. Help us to pray with faith, believing. Help us to pray persistently. Help us to learn that sometimes we may not even be praying the right things, but help us to grow in our life of faith. Help us to be able to know that just like this woman was rewarded in drawing near to you and having her daughter healed, we can draw near to you and find your grace sufficient for us in each situation. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.